precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Terrorist camps for Arab children. Oh, the Islamic Jihad terrorist organization has been known in the past for running these camps in the PA-controlled Gaza Strip for 8 to 12-year-old children. And as I've already reported last time, that many of these children have been paid around a dollar to throw these pipe bombs, and many of them have had their hands and other members of their body blown off. This is pretty sad and outrageously wicked on the behalf of the Palestinian government. No, I'm not bringing this up in order to simply cast a bad feelings against the Palestinian people. I actually believe that many of them are suffering under a corrupt government, if you can even call it a government, that's been led historically by Arafat and his political cronies. And many of these Palestinian people were more than happy to live peaceably with Israel and would prefer to have peace. But now their grandchildren and many of their children have been brainwashed in their schools to believe that it is a great thing to be a martyr. And so, as it was reported in the Israeli media some time ago, that the, quote, paradise camps, unquote, train the children in military tactics and weapons operations, instilling the concepts of the significance of being a suicide bomber and dying as a martyr. Israel has called for the end of Arab and Muslim incitement against Israelis since the Oslo Accords were first signed. And imagine sending your kids to such camps like this in order for them to eventually become suicide bombers. And then they, the media, says the reason why the people go out and blow themselves up is because they're desperate. They're in despair. But the facts show contrary to that, that they are trained to be suicide bombers simply because their desire is to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Knowing that many have said the Palestinian people are suffering, and there's no question they're suffering. I mean, the economy there is in shambles. They have a corrupt government. I'm sure that crime is rampant over there. But they have nobody to blame but themselves. And I've already mentioned many times and will continue to mention the reality that if they would recognize Israel and if they would understand that these people, the Jews, are the chosen people of God, then God would in fact bless them, for God does not break any of his promises. He says, I will bless them, and that would include even the Palestinian people or any group of people in the world, that if they would bless Israel, God would bless them in some way or fashion. Surely they don't have the blessing of God on them. Just look at the shambles that their society is in right now. Do I rejoice over that? No, I do not rejoice over the sufferings of the enemies of God. That would not be very godly of me, nor is it biblical. But the fact of the matter is that when you're following a false God and a false faith and a false Bible and a false religion, and you've been fed a bunch of lies for years and years and years, it's no wonder you see what we see. But all this is no secret to God. God knows what's going on. And the Bible has already foretold that these things would happen and that Jerusalem would be a cup of trembling. And if that's not true today, I don't know what else is true. Jerusalem is definitely a cup of trembling. Now, some time ago, I may have read some things pertaining to some of the comments that were made by many of the Arab leaders and the Palestinian leaders some years ago. And people say that the Jews, Israel, started this whole mess, and that's why the Intifada started. And I've already said many times before that the Intifada was already a planned thing. It was not provoked. It was premeditated by the Arab world and carried out by Arafat. And I'm going to read some quotes by leaders of the Arab world and some of the diplomats who understand the realities over there in the Middle East. And you will see that the attitudes, the mentality, all of the results of what we see today is a diabolical conspiracy against the chosen people of Israel, the Jews. And in fact, this is nothing new. It has been this way for thousands of years. You say, if God was on their side, the Jews' side, why would he allow all this? Well, that's for another subject at another time. I can just briefly say to you that God is in control, and God deals with his people as a daddy deals with his sons, and God has allowed the enemies of Israel to attack, to cause them suffering, in order to bring Israel back to the spiritual right position that he wants them to be. But that still does not condone the enemies of God to hurt the Jews or the nation of Israel. We see that in the scriptures when Babylon, under the Nebuchadnezzar and all of that regime, was allowed by God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to burn Jerusalem down to the ground. I mean, they came and they took away captive the Jews and led them into captivity. But that was not a surprise, because through the prophets of Israel had forewarned the Jews that this was going to happen if Israel would continue to disobey the will of God. And as a nation, they did, and they rejected God and rejected his prophets and rejected his word. And therefore, God allowed the enemies of God and the enemies of Israel to come in and destroy Jerusalem. He has allowed that on a number of occasions. But we do see that the enemies of God that were allowed to come in to destroy Jerusalem were ultimately wiped out and destroyed by God himself, and God did hold them account. Now, God didn't ordain, nor did he premeditate for them to destroy Israel. He simply allowed them to do it because they wanted to kill and destroy Israel anyhow. And God was showing them that God is the one who protects Israel, not themselves. It is the power of God and not the abilities that the Jews have of themselves. Although the Jews are very smart people and very skillful and have a very strong will for survival, except the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob helped them, they would not be what they are today. So I'm going to quote from some of these leaders among the Arab world, and you will see that this mentality has been permeated throughout the world among those who are, well, Christ rejectors, Israel rejectors, Jew rejectors. Notice here the Hamas leaflet had said back in 1993, "We are announcing a war against the sons of apes and pigs," referring to the Jews, "which will not end until the flag of Islam is raised in Jerusalem." Well, I can assure you that God will hold these people account to their blasphemous attitudes against God and the God of the Jews. Here's another quote. Hamas leader Azaz Rantizi in 1993 said, "Muslims throughout the world reject any agreement that recognizes Israel, which is a violation of Islamic tenets. This agreement will not prevent the Islamic generation, now or in the future, from fighting to restore its rights in Haifa, Lud, Jaffa, and Jerusalem, and so on. The Zionists have to realize that the PLO's recognition of their state is meaningless without an approval from the Palestinian people." Now, the former U.S. ambassador, Malcolm Toon, said, "If you want to know what leaders of non-democratic regimes really believe, don't listen to their declarations to Western statesmen and journalists, but to what they say among themselves." And he is absolutely right about that. It's amazing that Arafat is two-faced, because on one side of his mouth he's telling the Western world that he does want peace, but on the other side of his mouth he's cursing God, cursing the Jews, and cursing America. Here's a quote back in 1973 by the beloved Gaddafi. And he's sure learned his lesson, but he still has this mentality even to this day. This was a speech that he had delivered soon after the news of the Israeli PLO agreement had broke out on September 1993. He says, "I warn the Jews that this is a conspiracy against them." Well, he's right. It is a conspiracy. And the devil's behind it, and he's one of the devil's emissaries, by the way. And he goes on to say, "The Palestinian state, which is established in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, is a mere stage. The Palestinians will take it as a base for liberating Tel Aviv, Haifa, and Jaffa. because the plan of the PLO is the liberation of Haifa, Jaffa, and Tel Aviv. When the PLO was set up, the West Bank and the Gaza Strip belonged to Arabs. Thus, the conflict was for Palestine, not for the West Bank and Gaza. The Arab boycott of Israelis, the Arab boycott and the Arab League charter are based on liberating all Palestine occupied in 1948. Let me just interject some before I continue to read this absurd quote by Gaddafi. He had said that when the PLO was set up, the West Bank and the Gaza Strip belonged to the Arabs. I want to tell you something right now, that those pieces of land never belonged to the Arabs. If you go back into history, you'll find out that under the Balfour Declaration, those pieces of land was to belong to the Jews. Historically, biblically, those pieces of land are to belong to the Jews, and therefore his statement is totally incorrect. He goes on to say, did the Arabs establish the boycott in 1967 or in 1948? They established it in 1948. Why? Because the conflict was over Palestine and not only over the West Bank and Gaza Strip. The Arab League Charter calls for liberating Palestine. And the PLO program calls for the liberation of Palestine, whose capital is Tel Aviv, and does not recognize the existence of an Israeli state. If they, Israel, are going to be decided now and say that the West Bank and Gaza Strip are the Palestinian state, we should accept, then I would say to them, do not be deceived. It is only 15 kilometers between the ceasefire line in the West Bank and the sea. Israeli territorial depth is 15 kilometers. Is it possible that a state could survive in 15 kilometers? This is a state in which we are establishing the Palestinian state. It will not stop the liberation of sea towns. Why should we deceive ourselves and the whole world or the Jews? Why the deception? Well, there is no deception. Reality is that this land does not belong to the PLO, does not belong to the Palestinians, does not belong to the Arab world. And we have stated that over and over again. Now, according to Jean Kirkpatrick back in 1993 as well, she said the PLO was created for the specific purpose of destroying the Jewish state and replacing it with a Palestinian state. She's correct. In its brief history, the PLO has achieved an extraordinary record of murder mayhem against Israeli diplomats, athletes, soldiers, and ordinary civilians, and has mobilized remarkably successful attack against Israel in the U.S. and among the world's diplomats. As Arafat is a man made for war. His kingdom is an army that has made war on all from whom it could hope to profit, on Jordan, Lebanon, Kuwait, Hamas, and on other factions of the PLO. Yitzhak Rabin knew that Arafat is a specialist in violence, conspiracy, and deception, and that his forces are well trained in the arts of war and little else. A miracle would be required for such men to become peaceable citizens of a peaceful community. She said that back in 1993, and today we see the reality of that. They made a big mistake, a tragic mistake, to allow a bunch of terrorists to govern the Palestinian people. Now, according to some of the Jewish sages, Jericho is the key to Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. If Jericho is conquered, then immediately after, the country is conquered. Now, Arafat said, when he was speaking to the 19 Arab foreign ministers gathered for a regular 6-monthly meeting in Cairo, this was again back during this same year, I'm reading most of these quotes in 1993. He said, our first goal is the liberation of all occupied territories and return of all refugees, self-determination for the Palestinians, and the establishment of a Palestinian state whose capital is Jerusalem. Funny that Arafat should say that, since he was born in Egypt. Now he continues to say, the agreement we arrived at is not a complete solution, but only part of a transitional phase which accomplishes a small part of our rights. It is only the basis for an interim solution and the forerunner to a final settlement. which must be based on complete withdrawal from all occupied Palestinian lands, especially Holy Jerusalem. Well, I'm quoting from various leaders of the political mainstream regarding the Middle East as it was understood back in 1993, because you see what the attitudes were. And I'm balancing this out by those who understood correctly who the Palestinians were, what the PLO was all about, and what were the attitudes of the Arab world back in these days, which is the foundation, or let's put it this way, one of the pillars of the main problem we are seeing today in the Middle East. This is not a surprise. This is all premeditated, and the real foundation of all this can be traced to the devil himself, who is the conspirator. He's the one that despises the woman. He's the one that's angry and wroth with the woman being a type of Israel in the Bible, as mentioned there in the Brit Chadashah, New Covenant, in Revelation chapter 12. Now I quote from a prominent Orthodox rabbi, Aaron Solovnitskit, and he says, "I will not have said of me what God said to Cain. The blood of your brother screams to me from the ground. I would not be guilty of remaining silent and letting this happen. The peace process will erode the fabric of the Jewish people because the agreement undermines Jewish tradition and the sanctity of the land of Israel." And so I'm just reading these quotes to show you what the other side has to say and had said regarding these outrageous quotes from the Arab world. Here is a quote from Avram Peraz. He was a Knesset member in Israel. He said, "I think we need to be open and tell the public the truth, even if it is painful. The basic truth is that a Palestinian state will arise. The agreement which was signed, and the opposition is right about this, will lead to a Palestinian state. Anyone who deludes himself into thinking something else is doing just that, deluding himself." Well, so far we have not seen a Palestinian state, although they're talking a lot about it. I think what everybody's forgetting about is that this land belongs to God. It don't belong to the Jews even. It don't belong to anybody. It belongs to God, and God gave it to the Jews, and so God is jealous over his own land. And if God does allow a so-called state to develop, it won't last very long, because God is going to judge that whole area. Ultimately, God will give all of that land back to the Jews. So if they want it for a little while, well, I guess let them have it. But they're not going to have it for long, because God is going to destroy the enemies of Israel, and he's going to put them under his feet. But if you think that concessions to the Palestinians was going to be good, they don't want anything less than to have the Israelis thrown into the Mediterranean Sea. One of the PLO representatives who signed the Israeli PLO peace agreement on the lawn of the White House, his name was Abu Mazen. He said, "Israelis will have to leave the territories, West Bank and Gaza, and Jerusalem must be the capital of a Palestinian state. Both issues that are red lines for Israel and stated clearly as not negotiable. Overall, Middle East, Israeli-Arab normalization should be postponed until a comprehensive peace agreement is reached. This would mean a continuation of the Arab boycott against Israel and companies doing business with Israel." Here's another PLO, so-called moderate, speaking to an American Jewish Federation group on October the 20th, 1993. This was Zayad, Abu Zayad. He said, "Israel must not demand that the PLO alter its covenant, just as the PLO does not demand that the Jewish nation cancel the Bible." Well, that's ridiculous, because the Bible is the authority by which we ought to rule our lives by, and the charter of the PLO is just an anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, and anti-God document, and it's not even legitimate. It's not even a democratic It's not even good for their own people. And lastly, George Habash was the leader of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, and he said in Der Spiegel on September 6, 1993, "The Intifada is being continued, and we will carry on the armed fight against the Zionist enemy from neighboring Arab states." Well, as you can see, this attitude continues today red hot. And you can see that this is a spiritual dilemma. This is not a political, neither a economic problem, as much as it is a spiritual warfare going on between the devil and God's chosen people, Israel. Thanks to Dispatch from Jerusalem, these articles were quoted, and thanks to Zion News International for the sources of information. Now stay tuned, do not turn your dial, there's more to come. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye. Thank you.
covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth, O Lord God of Israel.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, and I'm so glad that you're continuing to listen to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. It's such a delight and honor to have you as our listening audience out there. Now, this is letter writing month, or let's say letter writing 4 or 5 weeks, whenever you do hear this broadcast. And we need to hear from you folks. We need to know that people are listening to the program, are being affected by the program, and it would be a great encouragement to us. It also helps us to know where we need to have the broadcast. And so if you don't write us, then we're not even sure we ought to be broadcasting in your area. But we do want to broadcast throughout the world regardless. But everything you know how things are out there. If we're getting more responses in one area than another area, then many times because of the cost involved in broadcasting, sometimes decisions have to be made to broadcast in the areas that we are getting the most response. And I hate to have to put it like that, but that's just reality. We'd like to broadcast into every city in the world, and maybe God will allow us to do that one day. Maybe there's somebody out there in our listening audience that is led of God to invest in this ministry. But we do want you to realize we are not driven by money. We are driven by faith in God Almighty. This is a faith ministry. We depend upon those who are like-minded in the faith to support this ministry through their local church. And we pray that this will be something you look forward to every time the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast comes on the air, that it will encourage you in the things of God pertaining to Israel and pertaining to the last days. Now, there's a lot of nuts out there talking about prophecy, and there's a lot of heresy out there. And we're attempting to show you from the Word of God and rightly dividing the Word of truth. And so that's our desire. Will you help us? Will you write to us? And let us know that you're listening out there. Now, I'm going to continue showing you and speaking about some testimonies of former rabbis, many of them already dead. But they left a great testimony of their relationship with the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. And if you're a Jewish person out there, I really encourage you to listen. Not to be biased, not to be slanted against what I'm about to say, because if it's the truth, you can do nothing against the truth but for it. And so we want you to examine this in light of truth. And the only way you can examine anything is by the holy oracles of God, the holy scriptures. But you would do yourself a great service if you would listen and consider. Now, many Jews, I would say there are hundreds of thousands of them throughout the world who are eagerly awaiting some kind of sign or some kind of indication from God on the reasons of what's going on in the world today. They're searching, and I'm here to tell you that there are answers, and the answers can be found in the scriptures. And so these are some true testimonies of famous rabbis who came into contact with the Messiah. Now, Dr. Max Wertheimer, This was the following true testimony that was written originally by himself. He was born of Orthodox Jewish parents, and he said, "My earliest childhood impression was of my parents rising in the morning very early in order to spend a long time reading the Hebrew prayers. Even in the cold winter, before fires were kindled for their physical comfort, they carried on faithfully these early devotions insofar as their knowledge of God was concerned. They were devout and God-fearing people. From the age of 5 to 15, my training was in a Jewish school in Orthodox Judaism. Scholarly Hebrew instructed me in the 5 books of Moses. I went to the gymnasium for my classical training and later was apprenticed to a manufacturer doing office work. My associates at that time led me into the sinful pleasures of the world, and although I attended synagogue and read my Hebrew prayers on the Sabbath, I drifted from the faith of my fathers. A parental decision to send me to America to pursue my classical education brought me to Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati, Ohio. I graduated in 7 years, having meanwhile taken my degrees in letters and Hebrew literature, and 4 years later received my master's degree. We studied the Old Testament, the Tanakh, translated from Hebrew into the vernacular, went through Jewish history from beginning to the present day, and learned the oral laws. After finishing the rabbinical course, we were publicly ordained and inducted into the rabbinical office. My first call was to Dayton, Ohio, where I officiated as rabbi for 10 years, during which I made many friends and received many tokens of love, which I treasure highly. In my Friday evening lectures, I spoke on social, industrial, and economic questions, monotheism, ethical culture, the moral systems of the Jews, etc. In the Saturday morning addresses, I took weekly sections of the Pentateuch, followed by a corresponding section of the prophets. On Sunday, I taught Sunday school from 8 in the morning until 5 in the evening, with 1 hour intermission for dinner. In 1895, a series of meetings were held in the Christian Church of Dayton, with various denominational pastors giving addresses on their religion. I stood proudly before the audience of professing Christians and told them why I was a Jew and could not believe in their Christ as my Messiah and Savior. I gloried in Reformed Judaism that acknowledged no need of an atoning sacrifice for sin, a religion of ethics which quieted qualms of conscience through a smug self-righteousness. In the audience sat an humble, aged woman, a devout Christian, who was deeply stirred as she listened. "O God," she prayed, "bring Dr. Wertheimer to realize his utter need of that Savior he so boastingly rejects. Bring him, if necessary, to the very depths, in order that he may know his need of my Lord Jesus Christ." What unforeseen forces were brought into action as a result of that unknown woman's heart cry? How perfectly satisfied with life I was that day. I had a young, attractive, accomplished wife, was rabbi of B'nai Yeshorim Synagogue, had a beautiful home, a comfortable income, a place of prominence in the community, had become an honorary member of the Ministerial Association, was a member of the Present Day Club, served as a chaplain in the Masonic Lodge. And just let me say, on behalf of Rabbi Wertheimer, later on in his years, he did realize that the Masonic Lodge was of the devil and would have no part in it. He was also a popular speaker before women's clubs, schools, and civic organizations. And he goes on to say, "Had you visited my library at that time, you would have found a wide range of reading. I had every book Bob Ingersoll wrote, read them, and corresponded with the author. I was an oft-invited guest speaker in every denominational church in the city. I was satisfied with life," he said. "My wife and I enjoyed the musical treats. We had a large home, 2 servants, beautiful baby boy, and daughter Rose. Suddenly, there came a change. My wife was taken seriously ill, and in spite of many physicians and specialists, she died, leaving me a distraught widower with 2 little children. After the funeral, I put Rose in the care of my mother-in-law, advertised for a housekeeper for myself and boy. and found myself the most miserable man. I could not sleep. I walked the streets striving to forget the void, the vacancy in my heart and life. My dreams of a successful career and serene domestic life were all shattered. Where was comfort to be found? The heavens were brass when I called on the God of my fathers. How could I, as a rabbi, speak words of comfort to others when my own sorrow had brought me to despair? I investigated spiritism, but found it utterly full of fallacies and lies. I attended meetings and read the literature of the Christian Science, only to find it futile and hopeless. My experience was comparable to Job's when he cried, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope." Job 7:6. The 10th year of my rabbinical office drew to its close. I decided not to accept re-election and resign. I wanted to think over things. I would study. Where is the spirit and soul which gave charm to life and made existence so sweet? What had become of all the faculties, the intents and purposes of that active, keen mind? I turned to my Bible. I studied by Judaism, but it answered no questions, satisfied no craving about my heart. Then I began reading the New Testament, the New Covenant, Brit Chadashah, and compared it with the Tanakh, the Old Testament. Many passages were read, pondered, meditated upon. One made a definite impression, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, 11th verse, last clause. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Here was the only mention of that phrase, my righteous servant, I could find. It is found nowhere else in the Word of God in either Testament. We have David, my servant, Isaiah, my servant, Daniel, my servant, but here it is, my righteous servant. I said to myself, who is that righteous servant? To whom does the prophet refer? I argued. Whoever that righteous servant of Jehovah is, of one thing I'm sure, he is not Israel, because the prophet declares Israel to be a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a leprous nation. The righteous servant of Jehovah must be one who is holy. If it is in Israel, who could it be? I decided it must be Isaiah. But in Isaiah chapter 6, I found it could never be that prophet either, for he confesses himself to be a guilty sinner and a man of unclean lips in God's sight. My righteous servant, who could it be? Then I began to study the context of the 53rd chapter, and in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, I found, I gave my back to the smiters. I pondered that. Who gave his back to the smiters? In the beginning of the chapter, it says, thus saith the Lord. The Lord is the only speaker in the chapter. The Lord gave his back to smiters? Has God a back? When and why was he smitten? Who smote it? Further I read, I gave my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. And still further, I hid not my face from the shame and spitting. What did all this mean? Who had been so abused? When? Why? Did Jehovah have all these human characteristics? I studied more and more various prophetic utterances. In Psalms 110, verse 1, it is written, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Here was David himself speaking of his own seed and calling him Lord. How did he get up there? Why didn't God specify? Why didn't he speak so plainly to Israel that every Jew could understand? In confusion, I decided to begin at the first chapter of Isaiah and read the book through. I was stopped at the 9th chapter. For unto a child is born, and unto a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Here was a most incomprehensible thing. I was faced with the doctrine of a triune Godhead. We Jews have a popular monotheistic slogan, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. The word Echad means one. Upon that word, the doctrine of the unity of Jehovah is rooted and grounded. The entire philosophy of Judaism is based, taught by the rabbis for ages. The word Echad means absolute unity. Now, I could not believe it. my teaching was wrong. I began to study the Word, and I discovered it meant not absolute unity, but composite unity. Let me illustrate. Adam and Eve became one flesh. The Hebrew for one flesh is bozar echad, a composite unity. Moses sent 12 spies into Canaan, and they returned bearing a gigantic bunch of grapes. That cluster of grapes is called in Hebrew eschol echad. With hundreds of grapes on the stem, it should not have been an absolute unity. They are called in Hebrew one cluster, composite unity. There was wickedness committed in Gibeah, Benjamin, which disgraced Jehovah in his name and character. The other tribes were indignant, and all the people arose as one man. That is what I want you to see. At that time, the men of Israel, besides Benjamin, were 400,000 men of war. Yet they were knit together as one man. In Hebrew, Ish Echad. Here again, composite unity. Thousands acted as one. These and other scriptures showed conclusively that Echad cannot be an absolute unity. God revealed himself to Abraham as Almighty El Shaddai. The first letter of this word is Shin. It has three strokes joined as one. This letter is on the top of the phylacteries and on the casing of the doorposts, the mezuzahs. Jews have always taken this letter as symbolic of the Godhead because it had three strokes, one for each person, the triune God, joined together as one to show unity. But another question troubled me. If he who was on the cross was truly an incarnation of Jehovah, then who was in heaven? I turn to the 18th chapter of Genesis, Bereshit. Abraham had three visitors, two angels, and the third whom he addressed 14 times as Jehovah. Later, two went away. But the third said to Abraham, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? I will go down now and see whether they," that is Sodom and Gomorrah, "have done altogether according to the cry of it." Abraham interceded for them. The Lord went his way, and Abraham went home. Now here is the point. We find Jehovah inspecting the moral condition of Sodom and Gomorrah and refusing to spare them because not even 10 righteous citizens could be found within their borders. But in the next chapter we have this statement. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. How and why could there be two lords? One communing with Abraham and another in heavenly places? It must be one omnipresent God. Then if that were true, he could be simultaneously both in heaven and on the earth as the Messiah or Christ. I could hold out in unbelief no longer. I was convinced of the truth of God being Christ Jesus. I cried, "Lord, I believe that thou, as Jehovah, hast made the atonement for me. I believe that Jehovah died for me. I believe that thou hast the ability and power. From henceforth I will publicly confess Yeshua as my Savior and Lord." Thus, after months of searching, I was convinced that Jesus was the righteous servant of Jehovah. Jehovah Tiskenu, the Lord, our righteousness. On May 30th, 1904, I publicly confessed Christ as my Messiah and Savior. After a year of study, I served as a pastor for 5 years in Ada, Ohio. From there, the New Covenant Mission in Pittsburgh, of which Maurice Rubin was founder superintendent for many years, called me to be their pastor evangelist. After 2.5 years of this ministry, I was convinced that God was calling me to wider sphere and preaching the gospel to both Jew and Gentile, depending upon the Lord for the support of myself and family. In 1913, we returned to Ada, the little flock over which I had been under shepherd for 5 years, being very dear to our hearts. I started out in Bible teaching, and God was ever faithful. Were I to write of all the manifestations of his goodness and grace, it would fill a book. Critical operations, publication of my book, supplying all our needs, he never failed to care and provide. In Christ I have found my only abiding comfort for every sorrow. As a rabbi, I had yearned to give the bereaved some hope on which to lean. But how could I give that which I did not possess? I gave sympathy, but in times of heart, aching, grief, and tragedy, sympathy is little comfort. But to the heartbroken, how satisfying and glorious are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And again, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There is but one eternal life. There is but one source of eternal life. That is God's Son. What a great and glorious message we, his redeemed ones, are commissioned, commanded to deliver today. Well, you've heard the true testimony written by Dr. Max Wertheimer, a rabbi who found Jesus to be his Lord and Savior, and put his faith and trust in the saving grace of his promise and received eternal life.
Keep his covenant and show with mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us then. Let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question. Is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel, Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or GA 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.